Hello.
Hey, remind me, is this podcast deep opinions on shallow topics or shallow opinions on deep topics?
It's everything. It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you feel deep, shallow, or just plain petty,
take a ride through life with us, Matt and Tara, as we chronicle it all.
Tell me the whole story, start from the beginning. What were you wearing?
Whether we are tackling aging, friendships, our spouses,
Hubba and Banana are the two luckiest people on earth.
For any other of life's fun, we have different takes, but one goal. Get ready to laugh, shake your head, and wonder where our mothers went wrong.
I'm a 30-year-old woman, and I am still terrified of my mother.
Get in and hold on.
It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara, and listener discretion definitely advised. Hey, hey, welcome to Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you're feeling deep or you're feeling shallow, you have come to the right place. I am your host, Tara, along always with my co-host, who can now add poet to his resume, Mr. Matt Hanley.
Ha, ha, ha. Very funny. Very
Y'all, if you funny. Don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to episode 6 real quick. You will thank me later.
Yes, yes.
He's a poet and he didn't even know it.
That's super corny.
I know, but I love it anyway.
Tara, as always, when we get our show underway, we want to pay special attention to our mental health and where we're at and our awareness.
Always.
So for our newly named listeners.
Yes, the Shallow Squad.
So for our new Shallow Squad members.
Yes.
We always judge our mental health on a 0 to 10.
That's right.
So, Tara, where are you today?
You know, I'm so glad you asked right now and not a few hours ago, because the past couple days, my mental health has been lower. I have been ready to rumble, like West Side Story style, like dancing in the street, pirouette, jumping splits. Snapping. I mean, I've been ready to throw down.
This is quite a scene I'm envisioning here.
Yes.
This is not a brass knuckles situation. This is a West Side Story.
Yeah, this is West Side Story. I'm in business.
Okay, go ahead.
But something happened this morning that turned everything around.
Really? Isn't that crazy how quick one thing in turn can turn your whole outlook up?
So I went from feeling probably like a 5 to feeling like a straight up 10.
Seriously?
Straight up 10.
Okay.
So this morning,
do tell.
I wake up and I have a notification on our Facebook.
Yes. Yes.
And I pull it up. And y'all, I'm sorry. I'm going to use some language here, but just for the sake of the story, I want it to be accurate.
Authentic.
Authentic. Yeah. That's right. So this morning, I open up our Facebook page, and we have a new comment from a fan, you might say.
Strong word.
And it says, "Get off my effing newsfeed."
Oh.
And right in that moment, I knew we had made it. We have haters now. I'm so excited. I sent a picture of it to everyone I know.
I know, I know. I
wanted to post it on my own Facebook. Like, you know you have arrived when a stranger writes some mean shit on your Facebook page.
That is awesome. That is so great.
I am just feeling like a rock star. If anybody wants my autograph, you can catch me at my typical 9-to-5 job. I will still be there.
At least for now.
So thank you so much, lady, for, you know, sacrificing some time out of your day to turn my mental health number right back up. We appreciate all the love and all the hate.
Well, that is so great, because I don't know if you recall the Cat Williams stand up from several years ago where he talks about, if you don't have 5 or 6 haters, that needs to be your Christmas goal. You like get you 5 or 6 haters before the end of the year. Like,
right.
So this is, we're on the way.
You know what is my favorite part about like her particular statement? Yell, like it's like she was yelling, "Get off my effing newsfeed." It reminded me, you're not a big Office guy, right?
The TV show The Office. No, but I mean, I've seen it.
Okay, well, there's this part where Michael, the main character, walks out and he yells, "I declare bankruptcy," like as if that
like declares, yeah, that was the official way. And it's like she went on our thing, get off my effing newsfeed, like as if we would just disappear into the night. Yeah. So, oh, it was just so good. It made everything so much better today.
That is so great.
So I love it. Okay, Matt, enough about me. How about you? How are you feeling?
Well, I also am at a 10.
Yes, both of us are at a 10. That's crazy. Yes. Okay, why are you at a 10?
I am at a 10 because honestly, I don't have any reason not to be.
Okay.
It has been, you know, the last several days have been awesome. So in addition to having just like really great days, we've got a really fun event coming up.
We do. And I'm so excited about it.
I am too. And we're going to do our normal deal. Big steak dinner.
Yes. The steak. Tour of the steakhouses continues.
The banana is in attendance. So we, you know, checked to make sure they had a grilled chicken sandwich on the menu.
With yesterday's bacon available.
Yes. Hubba, unfortunately, will miss this event as he is still out of town.
Yes. Still out of town.
Still out of town. Saga continues for him.
But, that's right.
But at any rate, so yeah, no, I'm at a 10 because I'm glad to be here.
All right. I love it. And we both know recording day puts us in even better headspace.
Absolutely.
So let's get this episode going. I think it's going to be real strong today.
So Tara, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about adult friendships.
That's right, Tara. So today's episode is called
Hit Me.
Ride or Die or Just Disappear.
So real. I mean, those are the only kind of friendships I'm interested in at this point in my life.
Right.
Be a ride or die or don't even waste my time.
There you go.
Yeah. There All right. Go. Well, let's dive in.
So even though we are incredibly close, we still have our kind of what we'll call our separate friends from college or various. So why don't you talk about your group of friends?
Sure. So I would say that Hubba and I kind of have our core people, if you will. And it consists of about 4-ish couples that we like to, you know, do events with, fun things like Friendsgiving. We have an annual Valentine's Day party.
Right.
You know, these are the people that we kind of count on to be there, to be in attendance.
And these friends that you have, most of these are college-ish friends.
Like
you and Hubba both met most of these people through college or around that time.
Right. We either met both of them.
Right.
So, you know, at college, the couple or one party
of
the couple at college. Right. Yes. I mean, all of them, really. I mean, considering I met the banana while I was in college.
Right.
Yeah. So we take it back to the college days.
And isn't it interesting? I read an article that was talking about like, that's actually where you make some of your best friendships is in that time period when you are a young adult, but yet, as you know, no responsibilities.
Yes.
So it's all about friendships at that point.
Right. You can be such a good friend when you don't have other responsibilities.
Thank you.
It's your time to shine.
It's your time to shine. Yes. And then it morphs into you become a shitty friend.
Right. But you can all be shitty friends together.
That's right.
That's the key.
As long as everybody's on the same page.
Right.
Because your group of friends is kind of in a transition period because as you get older, you're naturally going through different phases of life, whether it's having children or careers are taking off or like Hubba med school, which these things absorb a lot of time.
Right.
And it's important to have friends who either understand that or
are going through similar situations. Yes. No, definitely.
Yeah.
So I think that is certainly kind of what we all have in common is that we're all able to be shitty friends and really close at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Misery loves company.
That's right.
As some might say.
Yeah. And we all understand like people are busy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we all do our best and everyone is cool with that. And we make time, you know, that's part of it too, is everyone's busy.
Right.
My friend Casey always says, I don't even have time to see the people I want to see.
Why would I go out of my
way? Yeah, much less the people I don't want to see.
There you go.
So, and that's one of the great liberties of getting older.
Yeah.
Is you start to care a whole lot less about the friends who are shitty when they're free and when they're busy.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay, what about your group of friends?
Okay, so here's what's interesting is, again, because there is this like 10-year age gap between us, So a lot of my friends are in a little bit of a different phase. So sure. We're finally getting to the place where we actually are getting a little bit more time.
Okay.
And do you know why?
Because you're getting older?
Well, because we're getting older, but also because we're much less worried about leaving our kids with babysitters.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We will take anybody off of the street if they have a
homeless pulse. People yeah. are...
Are you busy from 6 to 9 next Wednesday? No?
Bro, okay. Is someone going to watch your stuff under this bridge so you can come keep an eye on our kids?
Or you reach that magic age, which we're kind of getting to now, where you've got the oldest is old enough they can stay at home by themselves for a couple of hours while you go to dinner.
Okay, yeah, that's nice. And that's nice.
That is a very freeing experience. So now... Kind of my group of friends is now like reemerging on the social scene as though they have been starved in on a desert island for a decade. They are just like, any opportunity, please. Like, I mean, any charity event, anything that involves, you know, some that alcohol.
That goes back to what you were talking about last week about how people see football games as social events. Yes. They're adults like running towards them. Yes. So excited.
Yes. I mean, they're attending minor league, you know, lacrosse games together. Like, I mean, it is anything to get out of the house and away from the kids, like for 2 hours. Like that's where kind of this friend circle is going.
And that is so funny because like with my group of friends right now, we're at the phase where we hate going to restaurants
yeah,
right now because our kids are wild barbarians.
Yeah.
And the other day I was out with my mom and she's like, let's go have dinner. And I was literally looking for what place looked the crowd.
Yes.
Like had the biggest crowd and was the loudest because yeah. that was the only place I was going to be comfortable yeah. eating with this child in public.
Okay. Quick story. So I have two older sisters that are twins and they are significantly older than I am.
Also, if you guys think you see Matt Hanley walking around downtown Denison in a wig, it's his sister. They have the same face. It's crazy.
Everybody thinks that we're the twins.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, they're 8 years older than I am. And so like, that's super offensive to me.
You're
but whatever.
Aging like shit, Matt.
Yes. Yes, for sure. But when my sisters were 2-ish years old, my parents take them out to eat. Now, remember, this is back in the day when you did not eat out a lot. So they go to this nice restaurant, and this is like a horror story for my mother. So they go, and they have two high chairs. My sisters are there, and they finish eating. And all of a sudden, my mom hears, like, real quickly before the panic sets in, my sisters start calling for Holly, Holly. That was our family dog's name. And as soon as she looked over, both of my sisters raked off the entire contents of what was on top of the high chair onto the floor. And they were calling for the dog because they could do that at home. And Holly would come pick up the scraps or whatever. And so they just raked all this.
And I was like, someone come get these babies. Who brought their babies to these restaurants?
So I think everybody can empathize with the whole don't want to take your kids to.
Yeah.
To restaurants.
Yeah, we don't want to take them anywhere. So we're kind of mastering the art of takeout and,
yeah.
you know, hiding in our homes.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay, so Tara, unlike normal, you actually did some research and some preparation for this podcast.
I mean, I Googled really quickly. It's the first thing that came up on Google search.
So, but you did at least find some research related to Friends.
This article's on Business Insider, so that sounds pretty legit to me. I'm just saying.
It's a reputable magazine.
Yeah, this is no Cosmo.com.
All right. Okay.
This is Business Insider.
So give us a little of what you learned here.
Okay. So what we kind of wanted to touch on is making friends as an adult. And the reason that Matt had me do this research yep. is because he was trying to get me to learn how to do this. I come from this kind of school of thought, hashtag no new friends.
Yes.
And Matt Hanley comes from the school of thought, hashtag all the new friends.
I think actually I was one of the first inductees after the hashtag no new friends policy was put into place.
Oh, really? You were a founding father?
No. I mean, once you had established, you were at your point of hashtag no new friends.
Oh, okay.
I think I was one of the fortunate that got pulled in after that
policy was
put into effect.
You're right.
An exception was made.
That's true. Yeah. It was a grueling process. You had to marry someone who was totally insane, but I mean, I felt at that point, if you were willing to take it to that extreme, you were probably going to be a pretty good friend. So. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thanks.
Okay, so here's kind of what the article talked about, that there was, it said, three simple steps to making friends as an adult. The first one is be a regular. What do you think that means? Be a regular.
Like a regular person? Like not.
I think that's probably also helpful in making new friends. What they mean is be regularly around.
Oh.
Be like a consistent. Be engaged. Be a consistent force, if you will.
Okay.
In, I guess, the victims you're targeting, their friendship and those people's lives. Be regular.
Okay.
But you know, all I could think about was reading this part is they talk about, therefore, think about how to see the same people on a regular basis. What? It talks about how you should look for activities where the same people show up. Walk your dog at around the same time to a local park. I'm sorry, have you never seen a murder documentary? Because this article is pretty much saying how to become a murder victim. Step one.
Have an established routine that varies by less than a minute every day.
Yes. That way, never to be... you won't need any new friends because you'll be dead.
You'll be on first 48.
Yes.
Okay, what's so funny about that is that in reality, to me, the consistency of being regular is not like by your own choice, because for a lot of times it's because you're all doing the same stuff, like situational, right?
Right. Your kids are in band, your kids are in art, your kids play football.
Right, exactly. Or
oh, newsflash guys, you can only make new friends after you have kids.
Or you make them at work, right? Which is, sure. Which is dicey.
Yeah.
Work friends is always a tough.
We learned pretty hard this week, didn't we?
Well, we kind of did.
We might have to touch on that in a bit.
To me, with adult friendships, I think one of the driving forces, and this kind of speaks to that, is friendships are very situational.
Sure.
Because, you know, like for years I served on city council. Well, I spent I spent a tremendous amount of time with those people. So sometimes you just, by virtue of being around them so much, you a friendship forms.
Sure.
Or you coach baseball together. You know, sure. You coach baseball for 5 years with the same person or same people. So I think situationally, or, you know, you decide you want to do an Ironman or whatever. So then you get, you know.
I wonder what that's like.
Yeah, I don't know. But then you become friends with all those crazy people, you know. Or you like to quilt. I don't know. But like it's you find your niche that's situational.
Right. Sure. No. Yeah. And that's probably more what they're meaning besides like how to become a murder victim, which is where my brain went. But sure.
All right. What else we got?
Okay. So you kind of agree with their first point in that.
I do. Yes.
Okay. So their next point, and give me your thoughts on this, talk about yourself.
Well, you don't have any problem with that.
I was about to say, okay, I mean, I can make some new friends. If this is, you know, one of three steps, I can handle this one.
Be regular and talk about yourself. Now, I have to believe that this means something different than what you're interpreting it to be.
Okay, I'll kind of elaborate a little bit. It says, for the shy among us, answering questions that come with meeting new people can be difficult. So you need to let people know what you do for work, where you're from, what brought you to the city, you know, those kinds of things.
Right. Okay. Well, I would agree with that, but I think there's a point. Like,
sure.
If you're introverted, you know, then yes. Okay. Yeah. You got to be able to tell people a little bit about yourself.
Right.
But I think we all have those friends that it's like,
overshare.
It's not, yes, overshare, or hey, it's not always about you.
Right.
You know?
So the one-uppers, perhaps.
Oh, the one-uppers. If I have not finished my story, which you know is probably hilarious, if I have not finished it and they want to start in with, oh, let me tell you.
You're out on that?
Let me finish my hilarious story. Let me get my courtesy laughs.
Let me have my moment.
Yes, let me get my courtesy laughs from my group. Then you can tell whatever lame story you want to tell that you think is as funny as mine. Okay, Tara, what is the third tip to making friends or getting murdered, whatever we...
Interchangeable.
Okay, go ahead.
Be the conversation starter.
Okay.
So this kind of talks about how it's not your imagination when people seem busy or non-committal when it comes to making new friends. And so it kind of puts it on you, like the responsibility on you to go up. Yes. So I'm in sales, outside sales. So I do a lot of cold calling in my life.
Yes.
And so being a conversation starter, not a hard concept for me.
Well, it has to be. I mean, it has to be.
Right. Exactly.
It has to be a quality of skill set that you have.
But typically when I am approaching strangers, it's not to make friends. It's to engage in business, sales, that kind of situation.
But isn't that what you're really trying to do? Is you're trying to find some common bond as quick as possible?
Yes.
To build rapport.
You're absolutely
and then
right. Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, because it's a saying in sales that you're not, you know what you want to buy. You're just trying to find who you want to buy it from.
Right.
So that's kind of, you know, an old saying in sales. But speaking of starting conversations with people.
Yeah.
So because I'm in sales, it's just kind of in you if you're in sales. It's, you know.
You can't turn it off.
You can't turn it off all the time. So I'm at the cheer gym the other day and classes weren't going on. We were just kind of hanging out. The banana was there.
Okay. Just a little bit of background. First of all, you were early to work that day, which is not a norm for you.
I know. Weird.
Minimum level of compliance is generally your specialty.
Mediocre employee is where I like to find my safe space.
So you're effectively loitering. It's not like you're just loitering in the
lobby. I'm sure
I
needed something. And that's why I was there. But
in the meantime,
I can't remember why I was there early. While classes were not going on and we were all just kind of chatting, this couple walks in, a husband and a wife.
Potential new customer.
Right. And so they start talking to the banana. She's at the front desk and, you know, they're asking questions. They seem interested. They're in this building. You know, they're asking questions about class for their daughter. And as a salesperson, I pipe in. Oh, what's your daughter's name? The look of disgust on their faces for me asking that question, I was like, it physically threw me back. I was like, okay. And she like just without breaking her gaze, my daughter's name is some stupid name, like Gypsy Rain or something ridiculous.
Some new age.
Yeah, some new age tomato basil name. Ridiculous. And like just stares at me as she says it. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, don't mind me. I'll just be over here sitting in the corner.
Which is so crazy because normally, like, what do people love?
People love to talk about their kids.
Yes,
that
you
is
normally
usually
can't
the
shut them up.
Safest thing to ask about.
Yeah.
It's not like I was like, what's your daughter's social security number?
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
or
what's her name?
Why is your daughter so ugly? Like, I mean, it wasn't like you were being rude.
I didn't think so. But for me to ask them that question, I was just like, okay, well, I'll be going now.
Maybe you should forward her
this article.
Maybe she needs some.
Something help. Tells me she probably needs to make some friends,
make some
an
friends.
Adult. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So there are risks involved.
Yes.
There are risks involved.
Okay.
So do you agree, though, that's part of it?
I do agree because I do think effectively becoming someone's friend, like you just said, you're selling yourself, right? Like you're trying to, I mean, what's different about trying to make friends with someone than dating? Like you're trying to make them.
I mean, other than the sex, probably
not a whole lot.
Yeah.
So, but you're trying to engage them and give them a reason to want to hang out with you, right? So you're just trying to sell yourself. So yeah, no, I agree with that. Kudos on getting some research material for us. So now let's kind of backtrack through these because I think we probably have some specific friends that have crashed and burned or have excelled. We'll be an equal opportunity program today.
Sure.
So why don't we go through real quick and like hit some folks and we'll drag them for their fault or we'll give somebody some praise, maybe.
So let's go back to number one.
Okay.
Be a regular.
Be a regular.
So be a consistent friend is what this all boils down to, I think.
Yes.
So
don't
I have a girlfriend.
Somebody.
Yeah, don't be a ghost. I have a girlfriend who is now happily married with two children.
Sure. Is she going to know you're talking about her?
100%. And the only reason I'm not saying her name is because at her wedding, when everyone was standing up and giving embarrassing toasts about her at the rehearsal dinner, I stood up and I said, love you, girl, and I ain't no snitch.
But now I have a podcast, so I have to throw everybody under the something bus to get, have some good material.
That's funny. I can't believe you remembered that you said that at her wedding. That's,
I know. Well, it got a big laugh. Okay. So it made me feel good about myself. Yeah. So, of course, it's going to be burned into the brain. This friend, she was and is a great friend.
Yeah. I know this friend.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Up until this bitch gets a boyfriend. Then she will drop off the face of the earth until they break up. And then she's like, hey, sliding into our DMs like, hey, guys, remember me? I'm like, oh, hey, girl. Like, and we all just know this about her, love this about her, accept this about her. But boyfriend comes in later. Like, she does not know us. She's never heard of us, not interested in our friendship at all.
Yeah.
I'm like, that guy has a balding head and it doesn't matter. Like, no,
this is not.
She gone.
She gone. Okay. Well, that is really funny because I actually got a text message, as we have talked about on the program, a number of people have kind of reconnected with us through the podcast.
Yeah. Just, you know, so, and it's been amazing. So,
it has been. It has been so great. And please, please, please continue to keep sharing and telling your friends about it. And we're so thankful for all that. But I got a text from a friend, and I looked back. The last text message I had gotten from him was from March of 2016. Casper, welcome back to the conversation. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Like, you were you like, hey, can I get a ride to the airport? 3 years and a podcast later. He's returning your text.
Yes.
Bro, can you help me move some boxes? Goodbye. All right. So to wrap this one up, you can still be a good friend. You can still be a ride or die.
Right.
If you are not necessarily a regular.
Right. Or if you're not, then just disappear.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on to the next one. Number two, talk about yourself.
Yeah. We all have those friends that we do love.
Yes.
But that, like, don't quite understand the concept of, like, hey, it's not all about you.
Right.
So I've got a dear, dear friend known for a long time. But, like, the number of times he's actually asked a question about me versus telling me everything that's going on in his life, I'm like, I mean, I'll sit there for 20 minutes in conversation and be like, okay, I'm glad I'm all caught up on your life. Don't worry about me.
You know, my dad always loves to say when he leaves a room, like, all right, glad y'all got to see me.
Yes.
It's that kind of a friend. You know what I mean?
But your dad is being funny.
Like, oh, this yeah, is, yeah, but, no, he's just joking around. But
this friend is not. Like,
yeah, that person takes that very seriously.
Yeah, they walk out of the room and like, okay, that was a great talk. Like, they don't quite understand that, like, okay, ask me a question. Let's it's like a seesaw. Okay, you tell me something and then you ask me about something and then we'll go back and
forth. Let's both share.
Let's both get something out of this. But, you know. But what I think is really important about, and while we're able to laugh at this, and that's ultimately, you know, our goal is that you laugh from this, is that there are still those people that, like, they're shitty friends, but you still love them.
Yeah,
like,
you still love them. And it's so rare that you come across these people who do these super weird things, and you're like, all right, well, that's just how they roll. And it's okay. Like, you just, because they're so great in other areas, you know?
Do you think that is why you and the banana have always been such good friends? Because one of the things you say about her is that as a friend, she always takes you wherever you are, right?
Right.
Like what you,
yes.
Like what,
yeah, yeah. Like I've you were said talking about her for years, that she ebbs and flows with
that's
people
what, yeah,
really
that's
well.
What you say. Yeah.
That when they're high, she takes them high. When they're super low, she takes them low. She's just kind of like, all right, like I'm here for the ride. Right. And, you know, so yeah, no, I definitely think that that's why we are good together.
Yeah, yeah.
Before someone had to come in and mess it all up.
That was kind of a dig. Okay, anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should we throw up a picture of you on Facebook and then throw up? You guys, okay, I'm fine with that, by the way. I've made peace with it.
Okay, I think you've gotten plenty of attention out of your cheerleading photos, so calm down.
Not near as much attention as your homecoming picture got, bro.
Okay, remind me what our third tip was.
Okay, so the third one was be the conversation starter.
See, this, I think, kind of goes back to the first, be regular, because I think it is really important. And I do try to do this. And I know I'm a shitty friend to some people who've been really good to me. And, I, you know, we all can do better. But like, how great is it to get a text from somebody like, and not have to start the conversation. You right. just get a text from them.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah. I'm thinking about you.
Yeah. 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 Or whatever. You know, it feels good. Right.
And it's so easy to actually think about someone and be like, oh, I need to text them. And then you get caught up doing something else and you don't. So.
But it should be so easy now with right. social media and with texting that you should be able to text somebody like all the time.
Right.
You know, I mean, as soon as you think of it, like, it takes 2 seconds, like fire off, blah, blah.
Which is the plus side, and the negative side being, we know you got that text message.
Yes. Okay, first of all, if you're going to be that friend that never responds to text messages for 2 days, turn your effing read receipts off.
Yes.
Okay.
Do it.
So at least we can wonder if you didn't get it.
And they're like, oh, I didn't get it. Oh, really? It says red.
Right here, red. Yeah. My mother,
just insulting.
My mother is the worst. She actually has it on hers, and she won't respond. And I'll tell her something like reasonably important. And I was like, Mom, and she's like, oh, I forgot that you. I think the response, and then I forget to type it.
Oh, that one's my favorite to use. Like, oh, I thought I sent this response. I know I didn't send that response.
You knew damn good and well you didn't send
I'm in
response.
Sales. I always have my phone with me.
The worst part is then when you need to hit that friend back about something.
Yes.
But you know you've got this.
Like how you did to me yesterday. You guys, yesterday I had texted Matt Hanley something. He didn't respond. But then he needed something from me. So he asked. And then he responds to my last text message like 6 hours later. I was like, what are you even talking about now? Yeah, no, that's good times.
That is good. Okay, so speaking of conversation starters.
Yes.
Okay, so my father-in-law, real quick story. We are at my 10-year-old nephew's birthday party mm-hmm. at the Magic Time Machine.
Okay.
Well, somehow no one in our family understands the concept of using Google to know what time a place opens. So we show up to the Magic Time Machine, which doesn't open to like 5:30, and we show up at like 4 o'clock. Okay.
Oh gosh.
So we show up there, and so there's like, I don't know, 10 of us maybe or whatever. And my father-in-law is there. So like he disappears, and there's another family there that's also waiting for Magic Time Machine to open. And he is over there the entire hour and 20 minutes just chatting up with these people he has never met.
Newsflash. That's not some random family. That's his other family.
So then he comes back over.
He thinks he's so clever right now, knocking out these two birthday parties in one day. Yeah.
Well, my mother-in-law has often said, the banana has a sister, and she's often referred to, well, your daddy, and then, like, to the other one, like, your daddy, as if they are two different people. But anyway, so he comes back, like, after this hour and a half conversation with people, and then just starts telling us about, you know, these people and where they're from, and blah, blah. It's like, well, you could have been over here talking to us. Like, no.
Learning more about your own family. Yeah, he already knows enough about all you fools.
Yes, that probably is an accurate statement. He probably does look for any opportunity to find out about somebody else's normal family.
Yeah, he knows y'all are a lost cause. So yeah. He's on to the next.
There you go.
So we're all guilty of it.
Yes, we're all shitty friends. It's just.
That's right.
How do we become the least shitty friend possible?
That's right.
Okay, Tara. So we have talked about you stole some tips on how to make friends.
That's right.
So should we at least do the courtesy of how to avoid friends, if that's your thing?
Yes, how to avoid making friends.
Yeah, how to avoid
making
friends.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay, so do you have any tips that you'd like to share on how to avoid making friends?
I think if you don't want to be somebody's friend, or if you want to avoid becoming friends with someone, like sleeping with their husband or wife, or married brother might be a good way to roll.
That is pretty aggressive.
I mean, some people need to hear it, you know?
I mean, that's one way to avoid making friends. Few times I'm trying to come up with words here, people, and I'm struggling a little
bit. I mean, personally, I don't know anyone who's become friends with a mistress type person. So if you want to be dedicated to the cause, that's one way to do it.
Yeah. No, I agree. No, I mean, I definitely agree that you're not going to get a lot of friends.
Right.
Especially in your same sex. Like if you're a male cheater or a female cheater, like it's not really a good look.
Right.
Nobody really wants you around.
That's
at
right.
that point.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little afraid for hide your wives or whatever.
They're coming after everybody. Yep, that's right.
Wow. Okay.
So that's my friendly advice. What about you?
So that's your friendly advice on how to not or had to avoid making friends.
Right.
Okay. So my advice on how to avoid making friends is to be an expert on everything. You have met these people.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I've got one person in particular that I have had some success in my life in various arenas.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain things I'll take advice on. But please don't come to me and tell me how I need to do everything.
Sure.
If you want to be an expert on everything and you want to tell everybody, and this goes back to talking too much about yourself.
Right.
Like, hey, this just in, you're a dick. It's not.
Newsflash.
You're an asshole. Like, and the only reason why people are around you is I'm still trying to figure that out. I'll let you know.
So people who lecture on how you should live your life.
Yes.
Sure.
If you want to pontificate on whatever the...
Whoa, fancy word over here. He might stutter sometimes, y'all, but he knows that word.
I won't ask you to say it because it starts with a P.
Yeah, I was about to say, please don't ask me to repeat that.
But yes, the lecturer and the like constant, like I'm, you know, like everybody listen to me. It's like
holier than thou, condescending. Yeah.
Condescending. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that I think is completely off some people's radar.
Right.
Do you think there are people who don't realize that they sound like a complete jerk?
No, I think that people typically do know when they're being condescending. They just, one, can't help themselves, or two, it gives them some kind of power complex.
Well, this particular person has a seemingly very sweet spouse. Mm-hmm. Like she seems very...
Our producer is shaking their head.
I'm getting a head shake off that. So apparently she knows that he's a dick too. I don't know. But the thing is, it's just like, I feel bad for the people who have to endure them on a daily basis.
Right.
Like either people that work for them or people who like are close to them, like their family, who don't have a choice. Right. Because let's face it, you know, but I'm like, man, please.
Yeah. No, I agree that. So I think both of those are good.
Yeah.
A good way to avoid making friends.
Yeah. Tara, I think we would be remiss if we did not give a special little shout out to the friends who save your ass.
Right. Those are the most important friends to have.
And I'm talking about 2 a.m. show up with the bail money.
Yes.
Shovels.
Yes. They are going to help you hide the bodies.
Right. Yes.
Yes. So there's like that old running joke where when your spouse calls to check on you with mm-hmm. a friend mm-hmm. and, you know, a bad friend will be like, oh, no, I haven't seen them in a while. And a good friend will be like, I was with them all night. actually, they're still here. They're in the shower. They have no idea where you are. That is save your ass friend. Speaking of saving your ass friend.
Yes.
As you guys who listen to Welcome to the 30-40 Club, our first episode, I talked about how I broke my knee.
Yes.
So 5 minutes after I broke my knee,
right,
more like 4 days, the banana and I were leaving on a trip to Florida.
For the huge cheerleading competition.
Yes.
At Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I cannot walk.
Right.
So, first of all, we have been very open with the fact that we're sweaters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Orlando is humid.
And Orlando is one hot bitch. Okay. This place.
And it was only May, right?
Scorching. Only May. It was like 109 degrees.
I know. This is what I'm saying. Like it was only May and it was that hot.
So there's no way I could have made it through this trip if I did not have the banana there with me to push me in a wheelchair through multiple airports. And one of my favorite memories, and I can't even probably put it to how hysterical it really was, but both of us overpacked for this trip. Shocking. And the banana is, producer saying to put a picture of this.
Yes,
online.
Don't we have a picture of you in the wheelchair with the luggage?
If there's a picture of this, I feel like I was not privy to the fact that it was being taken.
There is a picture at the airport. I believe it's at DFW it's Tara in the wheelchair. We've got crutches like laid across.
Right. All so the I'm in the wheelchair. Crutches are laid across my lap. There's suitcases under me. I have both hands on one of like two
You're
of those
rolling
giant
the luggage.
Rollers.
her suitcase.
Next to you.
Right.
While
there's
she's
purses.
Pushing.
I mean, and she's pushing me. And on the most uneven sidewalk in the history of sidewalks, every time we would hit a sidewalk, we would lose a crutch, a suitcase. And at that point, we were so over it.
Delirious.
Yeah. That we were crying from laughing so hard.
Could we get an illustration, or could we just for the Shallow Squad to kind of get a good picture? Would you say that the banana was your Farnsworth J. Bentley to your P. Diddy? she was holding your umbrella, except she was pushing your wheelchair.
Yeah,
in reality.
I mean, and what was so crazy is if you go to an airport, there are hundreds of empty wheelchairs.
Every trip, yes.
Not a one on this trip. We stole a wheelchair at the second airport because they were just impossible to find.
Okay, now on every trip we have taken since that trip, the banana points out every wheelchair. Like, we'll
she
be walking.
Will still send yeah. me pictures of empty wheelchairs.
Wheelchair.
They are everywhere, unless you have a broken knee.
Unless you have a broken knee, and then
nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to make matters worse, I can't even believe I'm going to share this detail, but I was pretty unsteady on the crutches, and
oh, yes.
I had fallen
yeah.
when I was trying to go into the women's restroom on what I landed on. I don't want to think about.
And this is on the way back.
This is on
right?
the way back. But literally my entire pants were soaked from whatever. And I, like I said, please don't at me of what it could have been. I'm going to assume someone spilled an entire gallon of water on the bathroom floor. But my pants were soaked throughout this whole ordeal of getting out of the airport. It was the worst.
Okay. Just for clarification, though, just so when you fell and your body was literally laying, absorbing into
yes.
your clothing
yes.
on the public restroom at the airport.
That's correct. And I just had to stand there for a minute once I got myself back up, and I was like, this isn't happening.
Was there anybody in there?
Yeah, there was a ton of people, but no, but Banana was outside the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
And so after what I can only assume is an hour of me trying to wrap my head around what just happened to me, I crutch out and I tell her, something bad happened.
Something bad happened in the bathroom.
And I was like, I know. I was wearing, thank God, a dark color pair of yoga pants. But like, I knew that they looked wet. I could smell how bad they smelled. I was like, I do not want to live like this. She's like, we're going to get to the car. You know, we'll get you some new clothes. Like, it's going to be fine.
But it's like nervous breakdown. Like,
Then I had to hold these suitcases while she's pushing me. No one was helpful. There were no wheelchairs. It was a disaster. So find you a friend who will push you in your wet pants through one of the busiest airports in this country when you have a broken knee.
Ugh.
Find one of those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Matt.
I am a big believer, and I have probably six people, three of them are attorneys, like on my speed dial that are like really close friends that they are my 2 a.m. call. Like,
right.
Uh-oh, like, we got a problem. Houston, right. We have a problem. The other person that I could call would be my mother-in-law.
Okay.
My mother-in-law.
Big Deb, I can see that.
Big Deb will hide a body.
Yeah, she will.
She will show up with the shovels and ask no questions.
None.
If she is one hundo right there.
Yeah.
Like, she is fully in the corner.
Unless it's her daughter who's having the nervous breakdown, which... I got to tell a quick story about Big Deb. Banana is going to freak out that I'm telling y'all this story, but I'm going to anyway. So one of the darker days of the Banana's past life, when she was going through the Big D and Don't Mean Dallas, she was at her mom's house. And so a bunch of us girls drove down there. And in one of the episodes, I'll call it, that Banana was having, her mom, calm and collected, looks up at us and says, are y'all girls hungry? Starts naming local restaurants off to us as we're like, that lady over there is going through some shit and you're asking us if we want fried chicken or Taco Bell? Like,
Accommodating is her middle name.
Yes.
Accommodating is her middle name.
Yeah. Yes.
No, for sure. That is for sure.
Oh, good times. Good times.
Yeah. Okay. So, Tara, we have talked significantly about the Ride or Die Friends, but mainly this has been focused on the ride.
Right.
Now, under certain circumstances, there have to be or there will be a die part of the Ride or Die friendship. But
right.
Some friendships are going to go past.
Yes.
Your demise.
My
demise.
Yeah, it could happen.
So I get a text from you this morning because I do feel like I do fit into this category of responsibility.
Right. Okay.
So this morning I get a text message from you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to disclose the nature of this text message?
I mean, not especially, but here we are.
What did you do that was a cardinal? You've committed a couple of cardinal sins over the last couple of days.
Right. So the banana does not like her picture taken.
Okay. That is not nearly strong enough language.
Okay. The banana will break an arm.
Yes.
Holding a camera that's pointed in her direction.
Yes.
She's a psycho about having her picture taken, and even worse about anyone posting a pic.
It correct.
Needs prior approval.
Prior approval.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And she only likes the pictures that are either too blurry to make out any of her features or look nothing like her.
Which is incredible. She is a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Yeah, she's a psychopath. We've already established how insane this woman is.
So anyway, but you committed the two cardinal sins.
Right.
And so you texted me this morning, and go ahead. I'll let you take it from here.
No, thank you.
Okay. So I get this text message from Tara this morning. It says, I posted a pic of banana on social media with no permission 2 days in a row. So it was nice knowing you. Please carry on my legacy via the pod. So then I...
And that was the end of the conversation. Moving on to the next topic.
You don't want to do the other? Then I reassure her because I go to social media. I see the picture. I was like, "This you're in the clear. It's a good picture. You're in the clear." So I try to reassure you of that.
Right.
Well, that wasn't good enough for you. You said, so I reassured you, she's not going to kill you. You said, well, if not, my dying wish is for you to get drunk and make an absolute scene at Hubba's next wedding. and like, that's not a joke. Like, that's
no.
you were being very serious.
I don't care if you were to get married at the Bahamas, in a different country, in some kind of shack on a deserted island. You better get your ass there, get drunk, and make a scene.
But see, here's what, but the problem is now that you've really ruined my element of surprise. What's that show that you're watching right now?
Turn.
Isn't it all about spies and Revolutionary War?
Yes.
So what's the first element of being a good spy?
You can't
rat everybody out. Now
well, don't worry. I'm sure that he doesn't want to listen to my annoying voice in this podcast.
Oh, cut him some slack. Tara, this is something that is sensitive on my radar.
Sure.
One of the real bitches of friendship, especially in adulthood,
mm-hmm.
is that there can be some things outside of your control that affect friendships.
Right.
Do we agree?
Sure.
So when we look at friendships from the standpoint of what happens in a divorce?
Who gets the friends?
Yeah, what happens in a breakup?
Sure.
So with the divorce, I think is the hardest one.
Mm-hmm.
And
because people take sides.
They do. And it's almost like if you don't take a side, what happens?
Then you lose both
you
of
lose
them.
You lose both of them.
Right.
So it's like you literally have to make a decision of like which team are you going to be on?
Yeah.
I will tell you, one of the most insulting things that I have dealt with is when I went through my divorce is I actually lost a couple that like, I mean, he and I were like best friends.
Really?
And I mean, not like a slow, whatever, like.
Just straight up.
Straight up. No response to a text message. Like,
wow.
Gone.
Say their name on the podcast and shame them. Producer's shaking her head. You're like, no.
I will not. But it was the most, it was probably the most insulting thing because then it really makes you think back like, really? The last, you know, 8 years of your life, like you're just willing. And then you realize like, that's a shitty effing friend.
Right.
I'm glad you're gone.
Right.
Bye, bitch.
I'm glad you're gone. As you're crying into a pint of mint chocolate chip ice cream.
So what about you? I mean, have you gone through this?
I've never been divorced, but I mean, I've definitely
had breakups and, you know, where people pick sides that you're surprised.
Right.
That's the side they pick.
Right.
But
because it can really shake up your circle.
Right. Absolutely. No, I totally agree with you. But along those lines, at kind of this age that I'm at, and we touched on that a little bit in the beginning, we are starting to kind of see the beginning of some of these marriages kind of taking turns towards divorce.
Yeah.
Just to put it out there.
Right.
And I have a friend who is not going through a divorce right now, but she's kind of making her way into that.
It's a possibility.
Arena.
It's
right.
It's,
and I'm struggling to say this because I want to respect her privacy and also because
of course
I love her.
Of
and
course.
Care about her.
No, absolutely.
But one of her concerns was that she voiced to me, I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose our friendship. And I was, you know, I reassured her that would never, ever happen. Like, I would for sure take her in the divorce if that were to, if that is how it ends up.
Right.
But no, I definitely think that that is something that is going to affect everyone
right.
at some point.
Right.
You're either going to go through a divorce or you're going to know someone who is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, just to bring it back to me and my needs, I really want everyone to just work it out in their marriage because I cannot handle another round of bachelorette parties. I'm super stressed about the divorce rate these days because if I have to go through another bachelorette party, I won't survive it. I'm still hungover from my friend Shelby's, and that was like in 2015. I'm still hungover right now.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
All right. So to kind of wrap this topic up.
Yes.
What would you say is your number one advice to being a good friend as an adult?
My advice would be take a stance.
Sure. Stand for something.
Yes. Yeah. Stand for something. Like the one thing that will, if you really do want to, quickest way to not be a friend of mine is to say something to me and then have a completely different opinion to somebody else.
Sure.
That is the shittiest thing you can do. I don't care if you don't agree with me. I have plenty of people who don't agree with me on a myriad of topics. That's what makes friendships great.
Sure.
And I'm willing to listen to anybody's opinion. But do not pacify me. That
right.
is like the number one thing that I don't deal well with.
Right.
So take a stance and, you know, that's my advice. What about you? What's your number one?
So loyalty is a huge thing for me.
It is a big thing for you.
Yeah. Loyalty, I feel it a lot deeper, I think, mm-hmm. than most people. And I try to return it.
I think so. Yes.
And to me, the biggest part of loyalty is showing up for your people.
Yeah.
Show up to the things that matter to
right.
them.
Right.
Even if you don't want to.
Right.
I do not like children's birthday parties.
Yeah.
And so I know other people don't like my child's birthday, but for whatever reason, that is the biggest thing in the world to me.
Yeah.
Is for my people to show up to my kid's birthday party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whenever, you know, there is something that you know is important to your person.
Yeah.
Show up.
I could
be there for them.
I could not agree more with you. The other night was an event for a friend of mine. And it is his event. It's mm-hmm. a charity event. It's his event. He is, I think, the president of the organization. And this is something that, I mean, like, he just...
Near and dear to him.
Yeah. It's just, mm-hmm. And it could not be anything further than who I am.
Right.
It's just not something I'm into. But I still, you know, and I did not have a lot of time, but I went through. Because it's just important for him to see, okay, he's here. Like,
right. He cares about it, so you care about it.
Yeah, and I could not agree more with you on that. That is huge advice.
Right. We're all busy. We all have things we need to do, would rather do, show up.
But you make time for the things that are your priorities.
Absolutely.
And if you want those friends to be your priority, or if you want them to be, if you want them to view you as a priority,
absolutely.
Then you've got to view them as a priority.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's my number one thing.
That's great.
Show up.
That's great. That's great. Okay, Tara. It's that time of the show.
I hate that. Matt Hanley, what are you hating?
Okay, so to keep this on a very light note to end the show, I was noticing at CVS today, they keep three things behind the counter now.
Because,
you know, they don't sell cigarettes anymore. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Okay. So they keep three things behind the counter. Do you know what those three things are?
I'm going to say pregnancy tests.
No.
Nicotine gum.
Yes.
Oh, ding, ding. Yes, one for
you
me.
You got one.
Trying to think of what would be like the most expensive things a drugstore would sell.
Obviously, they keep the drugs in the other area.
Right, in the pharmacy.
In the pharmacy.
Baby formula.
Yes. How did you...
I have a baby.
I am so impressed you got that.
Okay, and there was one more, right?
Yes, there's one more.
Condoms?
No, but that would be a good one because that would be in line. But no, track phones. Like your
prepaid phones.
Okay.
Okay.
So here's what I'm hating though. Like if people are trying to better themselves and like, okay, they got a shoplift. Like if they're trying to get off cigarettes, like leave the nicotine gum out there. Okay. Like if they're trying to get off cigarettes or if they're trying to take care of their baby, like you can't let them steal some formula. Like, come on. What is this world coming to? Why is baby formula behind the counter? Condoms are not. But baby formula is. Are you kidding
me
with
this? That is so ass backwards.
It really
is. You're like looking out for the criminals in this situation.
So anyway, so that's my hate that the people who are trying to get their shit together.
Listen, if people have the money to buy cigarettes, they have the money to buy Nicorette gum.
But they're not. But if they have money to buy cigarettes and they need cigarettes, they're not going to CVS because they don't sell them anymore. All right. So that's what I'm hating this week.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, Tara, so what are you hating this week?
Okay, so I'm actually not going to say something I hate this week. I'm
perfectly
fine.
What do you got?
I'm going to say something that I love.
Okay, switching it up.
And I was trying to work this into our conversation all day, but unfortunately, you didn't give me an opening, so I'm going to have to create my own opening.
Hey, there you go.
I was on the phone with you the other day.
Why?
And Matt Hanley's mom walks in his office.
Oh.
And says,
You are the worst.
Are you on the phone with Tara? And Matt said, yeah. And she's like, oh, well, tell Tara that the neighbor across the street wanted her to know that, yeah, Matt's funny, but Tara is absolutely hysterical. And you guys, it bothered Matt Hanley so bad. That I'm the Howard and he's the Robin.
That's what I've been saying.
If someone would have just told me that, I would have been like, oh, thank you, you know, blah, blah. But the fact that Matt had to deliver the message to me was the best.
Yes. And this woman my mother's literally walking across the street. And I mentioned in the last podcast, we had a devastating fire. The woman who gave Tara this compliment just lost her business in this fire. You know, smoke damage and all of these things. This woman has a million other things on her mind, but stopped my mother to tell her how great Tara was. Like, you have got to be effing kidding me. So can I please?
So Matt
please
fired
get some
me this morning. This will be my last podcast. It was really great talking to you guys.
Can someone please give me some love on social media?
You guys,
it is
start leaving compliments for
Matt.
Yes,
even if they are sympathy. Even if they are charity,
all
can
the
I get
titty
something?
Votes.
Because I swear, every time I turn around, it is all about Tara. And yes, that's exactly what I told you. Like, I feel like now, instead of I am not Howard Stern, I am Robin, and you're Howard Stern.
That was great. I loved it.
That is so great.
My cheeks hurt from smiling so big.
Well, that's great. That's great. I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Y'all, there's one other thing that we want to touch on. Speaking of people giving us comments, we just want to let y'all know that thank you so much for everyone who's reached out to tell us about episode number 2, Share a Last Name, Not a Bathroom.
Yes.
It was obviously a really kind of back and forth decision for both of us to talk about going to counseling.
Yep.
But I'm so glad we did because it really seems to have resonated with a lot of you.
Yes.
And
really remove the stigma of that's like not an okay thing to do. It's a wonderful, proactive thing to do.
Absolutely. Yes. So thank you so much. Please keep sharing, whether it's sending us direct messages or posting it on our Instagram or Facebook. We're here for you guys. We know life is crazy. We're just trying to laugh about it with you.
Absolutely. And just remember, we might sound shallow, but the depth is real.
And don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Deeply Shallow Podcast. And like Deeply Shallow Podcast on Facebook.
Hey, Tara, we've really enjoyed our podcast experience, but I think we would both agree that creating and launching a podcast is way more than just recording content. We had no idea how much technology could help or hurt a podcast. I mean, we could be spending hours on editing, audio quality, uploading to a hosting service, just to name a few.
Totally agree. We interviewed several companies and couldn't be happier with Riley and his team at Podigy. Their skills, passion, and professionalism have proven to be the best partners for us.
Yeah, that's podigy.co, P-O-D-I-G-Y.co. Right now, they're offering 25% off first month services for new podcasters.